Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell, expressing growing frustration with Oahu's homeless problem, is asking the city council to approve a practice he had previously vetoed, the so-called sit-lie ban, with two bills that would expand that practice island-wide. Alani Apio is a homeless advocate and community organizer who says continually moving people off the street can only make a bad situation worse.
The criminalization of homelessness, which is what the euphemism of compassionate disruption ultimately is incredibly dehumanizing and crushing to individuals and communities. And ultimately, it's like brutal punishment for people simply because, for whatever reason, they don't have the ability to have a home like we do. And, I think in a context of, like, does child abuse work? Does corporal punishment at the deeper, you know, if one slap doesn't get a kid, you know, moving along, will five slaps do it? It's like, no, that is patently untrue. Doesn't work. And it's the same thing that's happening here.
Well, Alani, it's not presented as a slap. It's presented as an opportunity to help people get back on their feet. Shouldn't that be, doesn't that sound like a pretty benign motivation?
It sounds like it. And on the surface, that's why the public is buying it. But what I have found is that our shelter system is deeply flawed, and frankly, I think it's broken. It was built at a time, it got built up at a time when there was a modicum of affordable housing that people could potentially get into. But we're in a state now, literally and figuratively, in 2018, where we have thousands of people on the streets, in the bushes, on Oahu. And if we put every one of them into a shelter space that's available, two things. One, there still would be thousands out there. And two, we don't have an inventory of affordable, truly affordable housing that they can move into from those shelters. And so we have a deeply broken system where the government has incentivized these shelters to pull people through and get as many people through the system as possible. But if there isn't housing at the end of their stay, and they're all transitory, there's always an end to the stay, then we just simply throw them back out on the streets again. And frankly, a lot of my friends that I've met, they are done with the shelter system because they end up losing more and hurting more by going into them if there isn't housing at the end of it.
How, losing more how, Alani?
So for example, if you're on the streets, you have to build, the best way for you to survive is to build community. And at a deep level, we are all looking for community to belong to. So you go out on the streets and you start trying to make friends, and those friends become your extended family, the people that will help you watch you through the night. And those situations can develop deep bonds between people. So, for example, my friends out in Kaka'ako, they have communities, they have friends. And then recently Mother Waldron Park was closed, and I helped move five of the friends that I made down in there, because I have a truck, into various shelters when the city, via the mayor, swept and closed Mother Waldron Park. They're all five already back out on the streets less than 2 months later. And what happens is one of them went into one of the shelters. I took her there. She had two large suitcases, a small bag. When she got there, a couple days later, she called me and she said, Alani, I can't stay here. They won't allow me to keep my things. They told me I have too much. I have to get rid of stuff. But this is all that I have in my life. This is all my clothes, all the things that I need. If I lose this, I'm going to start from zero again when I end the shelter stay. So she voluntarily came out of the shelter so that she could keep her things. That's just one example. And then when she got out, she told me she had bed bugs. So there were bed bugs there, and she has bed bug bites now. So, and then when she got back out on the street, when she went back to where she was, all of her friends are scattered. So now she's a female alone on the streets again with less than she started with.
We've seen familiar patterns in an attempt to address homelessness, houselessness in Hawaii, and it seems as if we're on repetitive cycles. Does it seem that way to you?
Oh, absolutely. I interviewed one woman out in Waianae, and she put it this way. If I had a house and I was sweeping up dust, I sweep it all into a pile. It's in a pile. And then I sweep it into another room. And then I sweep it into another room. But I'm continually trying to tell myself that I'm cleaning the house. You would think that I'm crazy. That's exactly what we're doing. We're sweeping people from one place to another, trying to convince ourselves it's an election year, people are angry, people want something done. We keep sweeping human beings from one place to another and try to convince ourselves that that's the right thing to do. Well, what it's actually doing is pushing people more and more into despair, making it harder, actually, for us to actually help them.
Alani, let's just hypothesize that you were given the power and the resources to address houselessness. What would you do?
One of the first things that I do, and that we've tried to do, my friends and I, is try to reconnect those who are houseless with those who are housed in our feelings about them, literally rehumanize them. Because I think the media and the government have done an astounding job at dehumanizing, and not everybody and not all the time, but the language we use, the attitudes that we take, that we somehow, that we, by being brutal to people, that's going to bring them along. I want people to know is like, these are your friends and neighbors. They could be your uncle. They could be your hairdresser. They could be your mother. They could be your sons. The people that are out there that are struggling, they're just you and me. I think we have to decide that the biggest thing people need is safety and security and a way to help themselves build themselves back up vis-a-vis community. So what I'm talking about is Ohana zones. I think that we really need to experiment with them. We may not get it right the first time or times, but what people crave is belonging and community. When I'm talking about creating an Ohana zone, I'm talking about creating housing at ideally $10,000 or less per unit. Now, that's going to be for those who really have no money, or what, you know, in my work on with the houseless, $200 to $300 a month is about max that they could afford on a monthly basis. If you're struggling and fall to the point where you can't afford anything more than $200 to $300, you're going to have a very basic unit. Simply like walls around you in a camp-like situation, maybe a bathroom in your unit, most likely not. So I don't think we're going to be competing, because I don't think that people who have even an apartment that is, you know, low income are going to look at that and say, well, I want to live there.
Alani Apio is an artist, writer, and homeless advocate and community organizer.